Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses for the mother, let him be put to death." Here in the book of Matthew in chapter 15 at verse 4, Jesus has answered a question, of course, with a question, which was one of the ways in which he oftentimes taught. The question that was addressed to Jesus was in chapter 15, verse 2. "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" And so Jesus answered, and he said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" And so that's when he quotes the commandment of God that was written on stones in the book of Exodus chapter 20 at verse 12. That is, to honor your father and mother. That commandment is of old. And then, of course, the consequence of not honoring your mother and father for children: he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's in the book of Exodus chapter 21 at verse 17. Now, the point of this whole discourse here is that defilement comes from within. And in short, Jesus is basically saying there is no excuse for not honoring our fathers and our mothers. So, having said that, we're going to talk about this important subject: honor your father and mother, because one of the Ten Commandments of the Old Law is brought forward into the New Testament. It is the commandment to honor our father and mother, we'll see, in the book of Exodus chapter 6 at verse 2. So let me pause. First and always, let me acknowledge my gratitude to Almighty God. And I'm grateful to God for many of the things that Brother Charles has prayed for. I'm grateful, of course, for his love, his mercy, and his grace. I'm grateful for this church in every place, the church that meets here at this place, for your kind and warm invitation for me to come with my lovely bride, Bessie, to worship and work with you in this special effort. I appreciate the prayers that you've offered. I appreciate the work that you've already done. I appreciate your attendance here this morning, of course, and the planned assemblies for our special time together. And so I want to talk about this most important subject because it's something that all of us have in common. We have mothers and fathers, and hopefully our fathers are the kind of fathers that the Bible talks about. So whether our parents are living or they're deceased, God expects us to understand the commandment of old and the commandment that he has given us today. And so, let's begin, of course, in a very fundamental way. The command to honor your father and your mother is found in the text of the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. So, if you will turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is helping us to understand a principle that goes all the way back to chapter 5 at verse 21. And I want to state that principle. The principle in chapter 5 verse 21 is submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then he talks about the relationship of a wife and a husband. They both ought to submit. And then he talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord. So parents are supposed to submit, not the very same way, but children ought to submit to the authority of their parents. He does talk about another relationship, and that's bond service: be obedient to those who are your masters. So with these three relationships, he's talking about the principle of submission. Now, when he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Let me hasten to point out that I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I'll make reference to other translations as well, but just so that you know, if we're on the same page, so to speak, I'm reading from the New King James Version. So the first thing I want us to understand is the original Hebrew word in the book of Exodus chapter 20, I think is interesting. The word honor in this passage, let's begin with a definition. The word honor in this passage is helping us to understand it's the idea of fixing a value on something or someone. It's the idea of considering it to be a prized possession. So from the Old Testament, when God said, honor your father and mother, that was also in harmony of what God expected people to honor him. And so in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, that's where you will find that commandment. And so it comes from this word that means to be heavy. It is used to ascribe someone heavy, perhaps with wealth, someone who is considered important and impressive. Like the man of God that we read about, one of the latest of the prophets, you remember Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 9, specifically at verse 6, remember what it says there? He is an honorable man, and all that he says come to pass. That helps us to understand that those who are gospel preachers, if they are speaking, as the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. When men are speaking as the oracles of God, let me tell you what, they should be honored because they've taken up the task to speak the word of God. But also, if you will look in the book of Leviticus in chapter 19, this is what you will find. You shall rise, before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, I am the Lord. I think this is a reference not only to our parents, but also our parents' parents. So whether we're talking about grandparents or great-grandparents, God says we should honor the aged. And so how do we honor the aged? Well, we give them respect. We treat them as if they are valuable, and they are, because by virtue of their age and their wisdom and their experience, they can share so many things with us. I remember many years ago, I worshiped with a congregation that I work with also in Phoenix, Arizona. And one of the elders there, Bob Dill, was a former Marine. Now, I know once a Marine is always a Marine, but Brother Bob Dill was one of those men who landed at Normandy. And I tell you what, how impressive that was. And, you know, older people are, have valuable information. And so I got a chance to talk to Brother Dill face to face. I said, Brother Dill, tell me what it was like when you were landing there at Normandy. You know, many of those young men didn't even make it to shore, but he did, and he survived. And Brother Dill said, I have seen fear like I cannot even describe. Can you imagine that? So you young people, go back and look at what Normandy was all about. But here was a faithful Christian, a man who was serving the Lord as an elder. Let me tell you what, those people, let me tell you what, not only the men, but their wives also. So there are the aged that we should honor. How do we honor the aged? Well, we talk to them. We talk to them because they've got so much to share with us. You know what we should do? We should call them on the telephone. We could even text them, because there's some older folks who text also. Let me tell you what we should do. We should spend time with them. That's how you honor them. You recognize them. Let me tell you something, young folks. One of the things that you can do when you come to the assembly is make note of those who are aged among you. They would appreciate that. I cannot tell you what impact you can have on the life of those who are aged when you don't forget about them. When you treat them as they are heavy, if you will, with their influence. And so God says, you shall rise up and you shall honor the aged. And so when we talk about honor, especially with reference to our parents, I think we understand there are two commands that God gives children. And as Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, honor your father and mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he gives us the reason why we should do that. Because it's right, because God said so. It's the right thing to do. And so the idea of obey
It means to submit to their authority. Authority means the right to rule. It's a God-given right that God gives to parents. And so children should submit. It's one of the first commandments that we should teach our children. And it's one of the things that children should grow up and learn. And if our children do not learn submission to authority, whose fault is it? It's the parents' fault. It means to comply with their instructions or their directions. A parallel verse, if you know, if you remember, in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's right. It's pleasing to the Lord. God wants children to grow up and to respect their parents. Now, honoring our parents means to obey them. And when we talk about children, children are not limited to infants, but a broad term that includes all offspring that are still under the care and the responsibility of their parents. They could be those who might be adopted. The idea of adoption simply means to take one that is not your own and to raise them as your own. And so they become the parents. And so therefore, honoring your parents means to obey them when you are under their care. And such obedience, the Bible says, is pleasing to the Lord in addition to being right. But I want you to notice, as we turn some pages now in the book of Proverbs, you know what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's about wisdom. And it's wisdom that the wise man is going to help us to be able to understand. And I think there is a passage in here that tells us sometimes the attitude that people ought to have towards wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Knowledge, of course, is the gathering of information. The wisdom is to know how to use this information and make wise choices. Drop down, if you will, chapter 1, I want you to notice verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So it means to listen to your parents. It means to listen to their teaching. It means to apply what they tell you to your lives. It means to accept their authority. It means to recognize the authority that God gives to them. And even when being disciplined, children ought to pay attention. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and look at verse 5. Proverbs 15 at verse 5. Now, I don't know about you, Brother Willis probably say the same thing to you. I like it when I call Bible passages and I hear people turning pages in their Bibles. Now, I know we've got the Bible on our phone, and I've got the Bible on my phone. But let me tell you what, folks. You're going to learn, and I think we're going to help our children learn, to open up their Bibles and turn the pages in their Bible so they can see the context of what we're talking about. So, Proverbs chapter 15, I want you to notice that verse 5. He says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. They're wise. You know what this is saying? It is foolish not to listen, not to pay attention to your parents. Why? Because there are lessons to be learned, even from correction. And so what does it mean when it says here in Proverbs 15:5, to despise your father's instruction? Let me tell you what it means, folks. It means you don't talk back to your parents. That's what it means. It means that you talk to them. It means that you communicate with them. When I served in the Navy, I served in the United States Navy for 20 years. Let me tell you what I did. I worked in communication. And let me tell you what the principle of communication is all about. Number one, there is a sender and a receiver. And effective communication takes place when the sender has transmitted a message and that message has in fact been received. So oftentimes, one of the problems of marital discord is a lack of communication. One of the problems in homes and families
or parents not being able to communicate with their children, the Bible is helping us to be able to understand how to do that effectively. And so what this means is children need to recognize the value of their parents' instruction.
And this is a part of children obeying your parents and honoring them. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Proverbs in chapter 30. Proverbs in chapter 30, look at verse 11.
The Bible says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness.
Now, I know I'm reading from the New King James Version, but I think it's easy to understand. Listen very carefully, young folks. It's saying, don't you be that child.
We can see young folks in the world like this today, but don't you be that child. Don't go off on your parents. Tell your parents that you love them. Tell them you appreciate them. You say thank you often. You say please. You learn, if you don't already know, you learn what manners are. And you express that to your parents.
I want to share with you a letter. This letter was written by a young man by the name of Terry. It was received by parents from their son a month before he was diagnosed with lung and brain cancer. The reason why I say that is because he did not even know that he had this disease. His illness and imminent death did not prompt him to write this letter. This letter was written out of sincere appreciation for his parents. Listen to what it says. Dear Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that I love you and I appreciate all that you have contributed to my life. Thank you for raising me in an area safe from gangs, drugs, and other bad influences. Thank you for instilling in me the values that help me everywhere I go and in everything I do. Thank you for setting tough standards and for not accepting second best. Thank you for assembling our family at mealtime so that we could come to know what family means. Thank you for teaching me the Bible and for taking me to church. Not one day has gone by without prayer. I appreciate the good examples you have set, your old-fashioned ways and principles of hard work and integrity have been a source of inspiration to me. I never forget the precious memories of you as good and honest and wonderful people. Thank you, Dad, for working so hard to provide a good life for us and for picking up your tired body to drive us around and taking us where we wanted to go. Thank you, Mom, for being a real mom and not a career person. Kids need someone at home, and you gave us that. Thank you, too, for the nutritionally balanced meals and for all the home-baked goodies. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for making me earn my allowance. I know many folks my age and even older who feel that life owes them a living. I know that anything worthwhile is hard to come by, and I have learned over the years to respect the value of earning something the hard and honest way. Your example, and I know I've kidded you about it, of being frugal and stretching and saving, it did rub off on me. Most of all, thank you for being friends, advisors, and responsible parents. I look forward to your telephone visits and every time we have an opportunity to be together. I could go on and on, but I hope I've communicated my appreciation. I think about it often, but how were you to really know? I love you both. Sincerely, Terry.
And after only a few months, Terry dies. And his parents had this letter. Do you know what this letter says? This letter says that the parents had transferred the values that God wanted that child to have in his life. Here is the message for you, young people. Go to your parents and you tell your parents, look, Mom, Dad, I'm not asking you for anything. You provide for me. I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know I appreciate you. I'm not asking for anything. Now, they might take you to the doctor. They might think something's wrong. Just tell them, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm not asking for anything. I want you to take that same thought, and I want you to go to God. Now, I know the Bible says knock. I know it says seek. I know it says ask. But don't you know your Heavenly Father wants you to be grateful and appreciative to Him? If your children see that, they're going to emulate you. And it's going to be a part of their lives. So when you pray together as a family, express your gratitude to God, your confidence in Him, the value of the instruction and the guidance that He provides. And your children will grow up with a sense of appreciation, first of all to God, and they will appreciate you as well as good, responsible parents. Same chapter, verse 17, Proverbs 30. The Bible says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That doesn't sound like a pretty picture, does it? No, it doesn't. Now, when the Bible says in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, let's go back there quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to notice, verse 3, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Well, it's not a guarantee that you're going to have a long life, but I tell you what, chances are the quality and the longevity of your life is going to increase greatly, young folks, if you honor your parents and if you obey them. And if you don't, let me tell you what, many young people have had their lives like this. But that's not all. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Look over there. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 20. Not another good picture. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, whoever curses his mother or father, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Now I have every confidence that all the young folks are here. You don't go off on your parents. You never, ever do that. You don't curse your parents. You respect them. You treat them as valuable because it's a command that comes from God. And the picture for those who don't is not very pretty. Keep in mind that God knows. Keep in mind that God sees. And so here are instructions for all of us to follow. The command to honor your parents and the consequences that follow. Look one other time in the book of Exodus chapter 21. Exodus in chapter 21. Notice very carefully at verse 15. Exodus chapter 21 at verse 15, first of all. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, I've heard of young people who strike their parents. I've heard of young folks who talk back to their parents. And I think this is not only talking about striking them physically. I think this is also talking about the disrespect and the disobedience that young folks have sometimes. It's not always with physical violence, you might say.
Sometimes it's verbal abuse. Sometimes it's what you say, and sometimes it's how you say it.
And I remember when we were growing up, if you rolled your eyes, let me tell you what, that was cause for capital punishment right within itself. You don't roll your eyes. You don't sulk. You don't pout. Because you were communicating a sign of disrespect for your parents. And I know back in the old day, let me tell you what, if you got off track, there was always a switch to put you right back on track. And those parents understood the responsibility that were placed upon them to bring their children up in the right way. So let's talk about parents. You honor them by making sure they have what they need. Because as time goes on, they're going to grow older even as you grow older. And as they grow older, they may need your practical support. Look with me in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 5. 1 Timothy in chapter 5. I want you to notice very carefully beginning at verse 3. 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows. Well, who's a widow? And I think the principle applies here to widowers as well. We're talking about a woman who was married and her husband has preceded her in death. That's a widow. But there are certain widows, in this context, that would qualify for the church to provide support for her. However, the responsibility for your older mothers who have lost their husband is given to us by God. Let me tell you what, I visit nursing homes, and I visit places where mothers and fathers have been put in those places and they have been forgotten. And I'm telling you, it's a shame before God for all the sacrifices that they have made. And I know they are good mothers, and I know they are bad fathers, but those are not the kind that we're talking about. We're talking about those parents who have the best interests of their children. God says, you take care of your mother when she has lost her husband. One of the closest relationships on the face of this earth is a relationship between a husband and a wife. Look after your mothers. Read the text with me. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. If you got the King James Version, it says require. It's an antiquated word, I know that, but the idea is you'll pay them back. All the sacrifices that your mother's made, all the dirty diapers she's cleansed, all the hours she has spent doing this and that, you pay her back. It's her due. Well, this is good and acceptable before God. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone, trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, if you read the context, there's a woman who would qualify for support by the church. She must meet those qualifications. But the first responsibility is always to the children who should provide. And that's how you honor them. You treat them as heavy. You treat them as valuable. And you let them know that they are special and that you will be with them and for them as long as they live. And so let's go to verse 4 of our text, Ephesians chapter 6. Most of what we discussed already has to do with children. And I want you to notice just one verse as far as parents, and this is directly applied to fathers.
Now we know both fathers and mothers, we've all got that in common. And if you follow the narrative here in the context, submitting to one another, verse 21, he gives the illustration of the wife and the husband. But keep in mind, he's actually talking about the relationship of Jesus Christ and the church. And so this should apply to every last one of us. That principle that I mentioned back in the book of Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another. Now, parents submit, but not the same way that the children submit. And so when he says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he says, and you fathers, now again, you could be a biological father, but we're not just talking about a biological father. One who has brought a child into this world. Because there's a lot of fathers who don't fulfill the responsibilities of a father that are given to him by God. And I'm talking about the responsibility that those children, and let me say something else. Because marriage comes first, not the other way around. Because God set that in order in the very beginning. Because it follows the context. A man leaves his father and mother, he's joined to his wife, the two become one flesh. And if God blesses that union with children, then it follows. And there are three principles we should see that. And that is, number one, marriage is of God. And number two, marriage is between a man and a woman. And number three, marriage is permanent. And when we see that, then God will bless that union. That's the order that God has set in order. And that's what we should be teaching our children. And when those children do come into the world, we have a responsibility for this. First, a negative. Don't provoke them to anger or to wrath. In other words, don't do things to lose them. To lose what? To lose the respect they should have. To lose the honor that they should have for you and for your wife. To lose them to the world. Even more than that, to lose them to God. We want them to have a relationship with God just like we do. It'd be so tragic to lose your children that they grow up and they don't know who God is, like a lot of young people today. They're people. They're young people. But listen, fathers, they are entrusted with to us in that there are some things that we don't do. And I'm going to tell you just a few of those things that we don't do. How can you provoke your children to wrath or to anger? Well, there are several ways. Number one, by overprotection. And what I mean by that is we should make sure that our children don't conclude that no is our favorite word. Because the task of parents is to raise their offspring from a point of total dependence to a place of relative independence. And this demands that we let loose. And I know that being a father myself, if we fence a child in too closely and all he hears is, don't do this, or she hears, don't touch that, I think we're doing damage. It's been said that a bird that stays in the nest will never fly. And so we naturally want to protect our children from dangers, but no loving parent will allow his child to play in the fire, to jump off the roof. So we need to understand, don't do this, the negative. Don't do this, but do what? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Look back at chapter 5, if you will. Look at verse 9. Chapter 5 and verse 9. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. He's talking about all those things that should come a part of our lives that we should transfer to our children. Go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 29. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. And here it is, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it as the Lord does the church. This word nourish is the same word we see here. The same thing that the Lord does for us in providing care, providing everything that we need, is the same thing that a father should do. Don't do this, but do this. In another way, it could be overindulgence. When we talk about the idea of overindulgence, we're talking about allowing our kids to be indulged in so many things that they forget what life is really all about. One of the things that our children should learn is that people are more important than things. Giving a child everything that he or she wants will most assuredly produce adverse results. Children don't need everything they want. And when every desire finds immediate satisfaction, they miss out on things that they do need. Things like learning patience. Things like learning how to cope. Things like self-discipline. And I suppose most all parents have had the experience of their children enjoying maybe a big cardboard box. You buy something, you got this big old cardboard box, and you know what? Regardless of what came in the box, they enjoyed the box itself. Simple things like that. On such occasions, not only are easy on the pocketbook, I want to tell you what, it's valuable to children. I hear so today, sometimes children find themselves, they're so bored with this and that. I remember when we were growing up, we didn't have the electronic thing, the things to play. We played with each other. We made up games. And we weren't given things that occupied our mind. But we spent time with each other. And so that's what we need to do, help our children be able to communicate and spend time with others. Then, of course, unrealistic expectations and discouragement. These are the things that we don't do. And let me tell you what we can do. Here is the positive. Don't do this. Don't, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. But what? Bring them up in the discipline and instruction, the nurture and the admonition. The word discipline is not always negative, as sometimes people think. Sometimes it's positive. And I think it's seen with rules. Rules are basically instructions or guidance for people to follow. I mean, like the golden rule. Every home has rules, doesn't it? One of the things that the Lord teaches us in the book of the Sermon on the Mount. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 12? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That ought to be a rule of every last one of our homes. I remember in our home, one of the rules was you don't make fun of other people. That's a rule. That's the golden rule. You treat people the way you want to be treated. Let me tell you what another rule is. And it was a rule in our house. Don't you ever lie. You always tell the truth. I'm going to tell you something else. In our home, let me tell you, if you lied or if you stole, my dad would say, let me tell you what, if you lie or if you steal, that's capital punishment. You don't have a reason to lie. All you have to do is do what's right. That's called responsibility. Responsibility means to do what you're supposed to do and don't do what you're not supposed to do. Teach our children what they're supposed to do. Rules. Teach them what they're not supposed to do. And so you have no reason to lie. You have no reason to steal, to take something that doesn't belong to you. You learn the good and honest way. Rules and rewards. Something that will encourage your child to achieve. And when they do achieve, that's the positive side of discipline. You're on the right track, son. You're on the right track, daughter. That's the way to go. You set goals for them, and when they accomplish those goals, you reward them. And those things are at your disposal. And then, of course, there is discipline. There's correction. And again, if they get off track, you put them back on track. Now, the Bible doesn't suggest that we spare the rod, if you will, but we shouldn't have to go to corporal punishment for every fraction that they commit, and they're going to make mistakes. One of the things that we as parents should do is learn the difference between making mistakes and rebellion. There is a difference. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. When it comes to discipline, yelling at a child is a poor excuse for discipline. We should be able to communicate with our children, help them to see. Listen, fathers,
help them to see where they're wrong, and help them to get right on the right track. Remember the warning in the book of James in chapter 1. If a man thinks he's religious and he doesn't bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Men, we have a problem sometimes with that. We have a problem sometimes with our tongue. Sometimes we are heavy with our words. We need to learn how to talk to our wives. We need to learn how to talk to our children, because they're people and their feelings are fragile. And we need to remember that. And of course, there are consequences, and we need to carry them out. When they don't do what is right, when they rebel, it's possible that we can save their souls. It's possible that we can keep them from making choices later on in their life. Their souls are valuable. Their souls are precious. They're entrusted to us. And as the psalmist says in the 127th song, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're given to us only for a short time. And while we have them in our care, raise them, bring them up in the training and the discipline of the Lord. Let me close this lesson. One of the things that we should do and we can do is by example. Teach children to respect by treating them with respect. They are honorable. They're people. They're young people. Help them to know that they are special. I know, having raised 3 daughters of my own, a lot of young ladies suffer from low self-image and low self-esteem. Men, you should recognize that with each of your children and bring them up to help them to understand that each of your children are special. Treat them with respect. And last but not least, one other passage, and the lesson is yours. It'll be found in the book of 1 Peter. And we're still talking about submission. And of course, another major theme in here is suffering. But it's the idea of submission that Peter talks about with reference to the times in which they will live. And Peter still says we have a responsibility to submit. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. This is right. This is what's well-pleasing to God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let me tell you what, the political world today, and you hear adults, and I'm talking about sometimes Christians, who debase the government, who debase authority, and your children are listening and they are watching. And this is a quote from 1,000 Threads of Love by James E. Faust. Among the values that children should be taught are respect for others, beginning with a child's own parents and family, respect for the symbols of faith, and the patriotic beliefs of others. Listen very carefully. Respect for law and order, respect for the property of others, respect for authority. Because without discipline, children will not respect either the rules of the home or of society. And just like the punishment in the Old Testament, let me tell you what, the command in the New Testament carries a promise that it might be well with them and they might live long on the earth. There's no guarantee, because young people die, and it doesn't suggest that they have been disrespectful to their parents. That's just a fact of life. But just like the principle in the book of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he ought to go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it.
Chances are you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Husbands, with the help of your wives, you teach them to honor. You teach them to obey, because this is right. It's well-pleasing to God. The lesson is yours. Thank you for your attention.